Let me invite Lee Jean to come up and read this morning's passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47.
I'm reading from the Word of the Lord, Acts 2, 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were to be saved.
I'm going to try and connect the short video we watched with the Mission Impossible music with the message this morning. So for those of you who are wondering what's going on there, how does it all connect, and this reading as well, we're going to get to that in a few moments. I'm so thankful that we as a church community can do a number of things, but one of them is welcome people into fellowship here at Nelson Avenue. So last week, if you were here, we welcomed Grace as a member of Nelson Avenue. Grace is originally from South Sudan, been attending our church for, I think, over a year now, and we welcomed her officially as a member here at Nelson Avenue. And this morning, we've officially welcomed Violet Grace. Now, she's not here right now, I think out there somewhere, but we have, through the sacrament of baptism, officially welcomed Violet as a baptized member of this church community. And my sense is whenever we do this, we are welcoming people who are, in some sense, already part of our church community. They have been here, they've been participating in some way, and then through membership or through baptism, we kind of mark a moment, and we mark a certain Sunday and say, this is the Sunday we welcomed you. But even before we welcomed you, we hope you felt the welcome of us and the welcome of God at Nelson Avenue. Now this morning, I'm thinking about baptism, I'm thinking about Violet a little bit, and I'm thinking about babies who become toddlers. And toddlers become, you know, older kids, and kids become young people, and it keeps on going. And so I'm thinking about Violet and other children, and really all of us, and I wonder this morning, what does Violet need in her life to be a healthy human being? Or what does she need to flourish and thrive in the life that God has given to her? Or what does she need to become the person or the girl or one day the woman that God is calling her to be? And this morning I want to just reflect with you a little bit on some of the needs that Violet and really all of us have as human beings. And then I want to apply that to our passage this morning from Acts chapter 2. There is a short sermon outline in your bulletins if you want to follow along and fill in some words there if that's helpful for you. I think the sermon outline's on the back of the bulletin or maybe on the inside, but if you want to follow along, if it's helpful for you, you can fill that out. This is a very, very simple list. I think the list could be expanded, but let me just think about what does Violet need? What do we need to flourish and thrive as people in this world? So first of all, I'm just thinking basically about physical needs. Like Violet will need, of course, food and milk and drink, enough sleep. She will need exercise to learn how to crawl and walk and run and skip and jump. Maybe one day learning how to paint a canvas or play the cello or smash a volleyball. Violet has also social needs or relational needs. She needs all kinds of relationships and interactions with others that will help her develop as a relational, social person. She has, even now, I would call them educational or learning needs. Learning and growing and discovering, and then eventually in the future, showing people that she can do or she knows what she's been taught to know. One day also learning to do a certain kind of task or job or work or vocation. Violet, along with all of us, have emotional needs. So she has an interior life. And what does it mean to be human with certain kinds of emotions? And again, she will need others around her to help her develop those emotions. And the emotion that she will need the most to sustain her in this life is all the emotions that come with the words, "I love you. Your mom and I, we love you." Or, "You are loved by the King. You are loved by God Himself." And fifthly, and again, a very, very simple list, but I'm thinking also about spiritual needs, that we are people who are made for a relationship with each other, but we're also made for a relationship with God. And part of growing spiritually, at least a small part of that, is knowing God and knowing that we are made in the image of God and knowing that we are, as we mentioned earlier, fearfully and wonderfully made. And if I can just say again, Scott and Allison, you know, God has called you this special task, providing a home, a community of love, care, faith, hope, joy, in which your daughter can flourish and thrive. A calling, but also a privilege that God gives to you and to all of us who have children, who care for children. Now, I'm looking at this list this morning, and I'm thinking about individuals, but I'm also thinking about communities this morning. And I'm going to suggest that every community has needs, and every community, I think, has these five needs as well. Communities, groups of people, have certain things they need to function in healthy ways. And this morning, when I say the word community, I'm thinking about groups of friends, I'm thinking about schools, I'm thinking about businesses, I'm thinking even about our governments, our families, marriages, nonprofit organizations, including church communities. And as we go through, we've just heard read the passage from Acts chapter 2, but I want to go through it a little bit and just kind of point out where this community in Acts chapter 2 is having some of these five needs met. So I'm thinking about communities that have physical needs, like the need to eat together. I think every community needs to eat together. And in this community, in Acts chapter 2, we have a sense that this group of people is eating together a lot. And this community in Acts 2 also has certain kinds of social needs. That every community requires some kind of healthy interaction with other people in the community. And here through the fellowship, verse 42, and this almost constant, continual meeting together, they are expressing some of their social needs. And then this group has, as every community I think needs, learning opportunities. Learning together, and here they are under the teaching of the apostles or the early church leaders. Every community, I think, also has emotional needs, or at least there's some kind of emotional life happening in any community. It could be the experience of joy. It could be the experience of sadness. There could be tension, etc., in the community, and here we have a group of people, there's lots of awe, and there's lots of glad hearts. A lot of gladness and a lot of awe among these people. And then they also have, I think, spiritual needs. Now, for me, this church in Acts 2 is a spiritual community. They are really birthed by the Spirit of God. But the community itself is fostering certain things to help them in their spiritual lives. And we read about prayer and praising, these two things going together in this community. So this morning I'm suggesting not just people individually, but also groups of people have these five needs. And if that's true, so I'm kind of putting that out there, if that's true, and if human beings individually, but also communities of human beings, of people together, need these five things, that I'm wondering, how are we doing? So if you can think about the community or the communities you're part of, so maybe you're thinking about a business you're part of, or you're thinking about your family or your marriage or your group of friends or a church community, how are we doing, how are you doing with these five needs? And for those of us at Nelson Avenue, I would love to have an opportunity to talk to us about these things. From my point of view, as I think about these five needs, I think in terms of physical needs and social needs, like eating together and interaction, I think we're doing okay. Like, there's a lot of food that happens in our church community. Even today after the service, more food to eat in the fellowship room. So in terms of food and interaction, I think there's lots of that going on. As I think about the other needs, I just wonder out loud, how much are we actually learning together? But beyond Sunday morning, is there a deep sense of learning together? Is there a sense of awe in our church community? Is there a sense of anticipation? What's the emotional life of Nelson Avenue? And then also in terms of spiritual, though we would assume there's lots of spiritual stuff going on in a church community, I sometimes wonder, are we people who are deeply connected with each other in prayer and praising? Prayer and praising together. Now, we've read this morning from Acts chapter 2 because we started a sermon series, a group of messages a couple of weeks ago, and we're calling it Mission Impossible. So we're stealing a title from Tom Cruise, and we're saying, Tom, could we use that title here at Nelson Avenue? And Tom said, sure, go ahead and use that. So as we go through the book of Acts, we want to keep thinking about the mission that God has given to the church. And we realize, just like Ethan Hunt, the mission seems to be impossible. What God calls the church to do is not for the faint of heart. It's more than we can handle. We cannot do this on our own. If we were to understand the scope of all that God has given to us to do, we would say, I'm not in for all of that. I'm not in for how big that mission is. And last week, I tried to introduce a word that maybe many of us know, but I tried to talk about not just the mission, but the word missional. So this morning, I want to say mission is what the church does, right? We have maybe certain things that we do, and that's part of the mission. But to be a missional church is to be a church that on the inside, right, in terms of how we think and function, our identity, I might say the DNA of the church, there's a certain heartbeat. A missional church is a church that I'm going to say this morning is very much aware of the world around us. A missional church is not just doing certain things, but we're wanting and longing to welcome the world and the community around us. The church is very aware, a missional church is, that not everybody in our culture talks like we do, or believes what we do, or sings like we do. So this is not a slight on the worship team, right? I love the singing this morning, but we're singing that psalm, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and I think the line was, Here I raise my Ebenezer. And I was wondering, do we all know what Ebenezer is? Well, maybe some of us are saying, I know that story from the Bible. I know what an Ebenezer is. But a missional church would be wondering, maybe there are some people here who don't know what the word Ebenezer is referring to. Or maybe other things, other words or phrases we use, or ways that we do things. We're always aware that there might be people on a Sunday morning or some other event that's kind of wondering and kind of like, maybe, whoa, that's weird. I would never say that. I would never do that. And a church that's missional in terms of its identity is not, whoa, that, you go away. No, we're always wanting to connect. Can we explain that to you? Or here's what we mean by that word or that phrase. A church that's missional refuses to develop a fortress mentality. So we're barricading ourselves from the world. A church that's missional is always wanting to move towards others. A missional church refuses to stay, and this is sometimes my experience, there's such wonderful moments, but what I call these holy huddles. Right? Sunday morning can be like a holy huddle, which is wonderful, 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 but a missional church is not focused exclusively on that. Holy huddles can be great, but then there's the time for going out and for being sent, which is another word we were talking about last week Sunday. A missional church realizes it's not just Jesus who was sent into the world. It's not just the early church sent into the world, but it is the church throughout history that's sent into the world. Not simply living in the world passively, not simply going through life passively, but sent by Jesus Christ into the world, which for most of us is not being sent to some other part of the world, right? To be sent by Jesus into the world for most of us means we're being sent next door, or sent across the streets, or sent into our neighborhoods, our communities, our places of work, our schools, our shopping malls and stores, all the normal, everyday activities of life, Jesus Christ sends us as his people into the world. And not just certain kinds of people, right? Not just the professional Christians, but the book of Acts very much, and the Bible as a whole, very much the whole people of God being called and equipped and used and sent into the world. And this morning I want to add one more thing in terms of this understanding of what the church is, very much church for the world. So we are in the world, we are sent into the world, but we also have a heart for the world. We have a heart for our communities. We have a heart for people maybe we have not met yet, but Jesus Christ sends us not just to do stuff, but also sometimes to feel stuff, to feel something for our neighbors, for our communities, to feel something for the world. As we sometimes look at our culture, look at our society, we feel, maybe it's joy. Like I had this experience the other day. I was at Canuck House with a family from our church. And I was privileged to be in a meeting there as the family was meeting with some medical staff. And I thought, I don't have no idea, you know, what you know, the religious background of these people, but they are providing an environment that is so loving and caring and asking questions that are so pertinent to this situation. I was like getting emotional. It felt like what the church should be doing. And I was like, I know these people are trained and they have the right questions to ask and they've been doing this a long time, but I thought, I just thank God for people in the medical profession who act like that and talk like that and think like that and even feel like that. It was wonderful. So this morning I'm suggesting that as we think about the world, as we think about the church, the church is never simply or mostly for itself. We are in some sense for ourselves, but never exclusively or only or mostly. We gather and we do things and we, you know, God calls us, but we also sense that we are very much for others, for the world, not just hunkered in on ourselves. And I'm hoping this morning at maybe at this exact moment someone would say, huh? Right? Because you're blabbering on about the church for the world, but the passage we read seemed to be really focused on the church. Right? Like the church is a place of prayer and praise and food, and everyone's together all the time and they're sharing all their stuff. So doesn't this kind of go against your idea of the church being missional or sent or for the world? And it might, but as I read the passage describes the church, but then it ends in the final verse, and I think that's how the passage is moving, describing the church, and then the final verse of Acts chapter 2 says, they were praying, and they were eating, and they were together, and then they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So it seems like, oh, now we have not just a church together, but now we have people outside the church. I take that, all the people, to be the people who are around the church. Kind of wondering, what's happening with those people? I got some questions about what's going on there. And the church, at least in that moment, is experiencing favor from those people. And then it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Maybe the previous slide. So the favor of the people around the church who are watching and wondering, and then this sense of some of those people, that the community is drawing, or they are feeling drawn in. And then the Bible kind of corrects that thinking. It says it's not the community, it's actually Jesus, right? It's the Lord who is drawing, adding those people into the church. And as I read that final verse, I think it's not just the church all by itself. It's always the church in relationship with others or relationship with the world. And this actually continues in the book of Acts. A couple chapters later, we have this really crazy story about a guy named Joseph, or also called Barnabas. And we're told in Acts 4:37, as the church is praying and praising and eating and all this kind of activity going on, there's one verse about this guy named Joseph, Acts 4:37, who sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, we know from previous verses, this act of putting at the apostles' feet, I'm assuming it was literal, like he actually just brought the money and here's the money, but we know from previous verses this was money for other people. So this is not money for the pastor, right? It's not money for a building project. I've sold this field, and I'm giving the money to you that you might help other people in need. So for me, it's a moment again of, it's my money and I'm giving it to you, but it's really for the sake of others, right? Maybe even people I have no idea who they are. Barnabas sells a field. It's not, you know, for me the language is really important here. So I'm assuming he didn't sell his field, like one field or the field. He sells a field. I'm assuming it means he has multiple fields to choose from. So he sells one field, gives that money to the church leaders for the sake of blessing others, helping others. And I see that movement continue. And for those of us who live in the Vancouver area, if we had multiple fields to choose from, or multiple properties, or multiple homes, and we sold one of those, that'd be a lot of change to give for helping others. And I know some of us would say, well, I would never do that, right? That's just totally nuts. Like, that's off the scale. And that might be, right? That might be just totally whacked and crazy to do. But I want to know, why did Barnabas do this? Why was he brought to do this? Was he mentally unstable? Was he pressured by others? You got to sell that field. Was he trying to impress other people? And I would say no. The reason, as I'm reading through the book of Acts, and I see what happens in terms of how the church is put together and formed and created and what's going on, for me, the only answer that works is Barnabas does what he does and the church is doing what it's doing because Jesus Christ is alive in the church. So this is not the church doing what it wants to do, or Barnabas doing what he wants to do, sort of out of his own, but it's Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus, alive in the church, calling his people, enabling his people, empowering his people to do his ministry, continue his ministry. And we know it's Jesus because what they do mirrors Jesus. It mirrors the generosity and the ministry and the sacrifice and the focus of others we see through Jesus himself. So when Jesus comes to take up residence in someone's hearts or in the life of a church or life of a community, these are the kinds of things that happen. This outward focus, this is looking at others, this how can I bless? How can I be? How can I be involved in the lives of others because of what Christ is doing in me, but also through me? And I think that as the people are doing this, they're also discovering a new level of joy. So this past week, I was reading an online article from Time Magazine called The Secret of Happiness. And the article stated that experiments show evidence that altruism, this focus on others, is hardwired in the brain. It's pleasurable. Helping others may just be the secret to living a life that's not only happier, but also healthier, wealthier, more productive, and meaningful. And they quoted this Chinese proverb that I thought was pretty interesting. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. But if you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else. And I think the early church and others have discovered that. As Jesus is moving among us, and we start looking what's happening around us, and we start focusing on those around us, outside the church, there is a new and deeper level of happiness and joy that happens. So this morning, I'm trying to call us, all of us, but especially those of us who are part of Nelson Avenue, to this idea of being church and community for the world. Not thinking of ourselves totally for ourselves, but thinking of ourselves for the sake of the world. I would say our families, our monies, our properties, our wealth, our time, our gifts and talents, also for the sake of others. God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world, and Jesus Christ sends the church into the world. Jesus Christ sends us into the world, you into the world. Where has Jesus sent you? It's not, has Jesus sent me? If you're following Jesus, he has sent you. So where has he sent you? And what's the mission impossible focused on others for the sake of others Jesus has called you to do? Let me pray. So Lord Jesus, send us. Send us, send us, send us. For the sake of others, we pray, not just for our sake, but also for the sake of the world around us. And then, Lord, also send us ideas of how we might do this, you helping us. Keep us listening to you. Lord Jesus, your life here among us, your life here in us, and then keep sending us, one by one, two by two, some of us groups, but into the world, into all the everyday, ordinary events of our lives. Send us with your power and mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.